Good evening once again. You're listening to the Hour of the Time. I'm William Cooper. I want to recap a little bit what we went over last night so that it'll be fresh in your minds when we open the phone, because we're going to open the phones and talk about it tonight. We gave you the smoking gun, the truth about what really happened with John F. Kennedy last night. Took a long time. I told you a long time ago. You kept that calling me up and asking me, what do you think really happened to John F. Kennedy Jr.? I told you I didn't know, but we're investigating. When we finish our investigation, we'll let you know. I think some of you didn't believe me. I never tell you anything that's not true, ever. I may make a mistake once in a while, but I never, ever lie to you. Never. And you can take that to the bank. It's the truth. We've been investigating this for a long time. Here's what you heard on the tape. You heard on the tape that they didn't have a clue as to what happened to John Fitzgerald Kennedy Jr. and his two passengers in his little light aircraft. In fact, somebody had intentionally planted a bogus beacon, which is the device on airplanes or ships that goes off and begins transmitting an SOS to say, help, help, we're here, here we are, listen to this beacon, home in on it, come and get the survivors. It's just like a beep, 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 beep. It has a specific frequency and a specific signal that it transmits, and everybody who hears it knows that somebody's in trouble. Somebody intentionally planted a fake, not a fake, because it was a real beacon, but a deception beacon off Montauk Point. And that's where they were concentrating the search. Wherever you hear a beacon, a distress beacon, there's got to be a down plane or a sunken ship or something. But there was nothing, because it was a deception. They say that John F. Kennedy never spoke to anybody on the radio. You know, I've been talking to pilots all my life. Literally all my life. I was reared in an Air Force family. I've known pilots since the very first memory that I can remember. And I still know a lot of pilots. I don't know any pilots who take off from one place and go to another place without talking to somebody on the radio along the way. They told us that John F. Kennedy, after he took off, never spoke to anybody on the radio, never called anybody. If you were listening to the tape very carefully last night, you heard them say that he was in communication with an Air Force tower. And they told us that he never called his destination, which was Martha's Vineyard Airport. That was a lie. They said they had miles and miles of radar tapes, but they didn't know where to start looking for his plane or which plane on the tapes was his, and they didn't even know how to determine that, because there's so many small planes in the air, and they're not identified on radar. See, they squawk something called 1200, which is sort of a generic identifier. It means friendly. But nobody can tell who it is unless you call the radio and say, this is me. You have me on radar. I'm 14 miles from this place and 27 miles from that place, and I'm at such and such altitude, and then the guy says, oh yeah, we got you right here. But if you're not in the air, you're in the water, and you can't talk on the radio, they can't tell which one of those radar blips is your blip. And they had no idea where to search or where to look. They were looking everywhere until they discovered, by talking to the personnel who had been at work that night at the tower at Martha's Vineyard Airport, that John F. Kennedy had indeed called in when he was 10 miles from the land of Martha's Vineyard on his final approach, 19 actual miles from the airport at 2,500 feet. That's 2,500 feet, beginning his descent on his glide path to the airport. Now, in a small plane traveling 150 miles an hour, he was 7 minutes from landing. He was 19 miles from the airport. In a small plane doing 150 miles an hour, it only takes him 7 minutes to get there. Now, in his glide path, getting ready to land, he would have started slowing down at some point, so it actually would have maybe taken him 8 or 9 minutes to get there. But just so you understand, that 19 miles away in a small plane going 150 miles an hour is not a long way away, nor does it take very long to get there. So he was about maximum. Even if you stretch things, he was only 10 minutes from touchdown. 10 minutes from the time his wheels would have hit the runway at Martha's Vineyard when he called in. 2,500 feet, doing 150 miles an hour, on his final approach to the airport. That means he was lined up with the runway. Also in the tape, and I don't know if we played it long enough for you to hear it, but it's on the tape. And this is a videotape, folks, that's 2 hours long. But it's on the tape. The official Martha's Vineyard weather report for that night at 9 p.m. was visibility 8 miles. At 10 p.m., visibility was 10 miles. He called in to the Martha's Vineyard Airport at 9:39 p.m. If you interpolate between the 8 miles and 10 miles, between 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock, it should have had visibility somewhere around 9 miles. That's real good visibility. People on the island and people on the beaches said that they could see the stars and they could see the moon, so there wasn't any ceiling. Pilots in the area said that there was haze and sometimes foggy and not too good a weather over the land, but it improved and got better as you went east. And anybody who has ever lived near the ocean knows that weather piles up on the land and is generally clear over the water, unless there's fog. There was no fog that night. So when all these experts got on television and told us that he was sure to crash because he did not have an instrument rating, he was flying over water at night, visibility was zero, the ceiling was zero, he couldn't see anything, it was foggy, they were lying. It was a lie. Blatant, bold-faced, bare-ass lie. Simple as that. This tape exposed it all. It's all on the tape. Now, last night, our broadcast was only an hour. So I only played an hour of what we have on that tape. By the way, if you want the tape, it's $15, blank money order or cash. I'll give you the address where to send for it later, just to let you know it's available. And it's a videotape, and it's beautiful. And we even have the means here to make it look better. So it's not what you're going to see on the tape that's important. It's what you hear on this tape that's important. But it's a great tape. It's crystal clear. It's beautiful. And as you heard last night, there's nothing garbled on there except one report of one reporter actually reporting by cell phone from the Kennedy home. And also, did you notice that all of a sudden the Kennedy home is now a compound, just like the Branch Davidians church and Randy Weaver's cabin and the Freeman's mobile home on their farm? Isn't it funny? And when people get in the news, their home becomes a compound. What is this with this compound crap? And who's responsible for that? It's insanity, is what it is. Well, they were looking through the radar tapes, folks, and they couldn't locate his plane. In fact, they admitted it was going to take a long time to determine which plane on those radar tapes was his, and then even if they thought it was his, they wouldn't know for sure. Until they discovered that he had checked in and called in to the tower. That put him in a specific position at 2,500 feet, 10 miles southwest. Southwest of the southwest tip of Martha's Vineyard, put him 10 miles at 2,500 feet. They went to the radar tape, said, sure enough, there he was, exactly at that position, 10 miles from the southwest tip of Martha's Vineyard Island, at 2,500 feet, right on the tape. Exactly 12 seconds later, it was at 1,300 feet, and then the blip disappeared off the radar tape, and they knew that's where he was. That's where the plane was. They immediately moved the search to that area, and right away, they saw the luggage and pieces and bits of airplane in the water. So the story that he never called anybody was a lie. The story that he never checked in on the radio was a lie. He checked in with the Martha's Vineyard Tower, a Federal Aeronautics Administration person who was, what do they call those guys? Air controller. I believe that's what they call them. He called that guy. That guy made a report to the FAA. The FAA confirmed to the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard checked it and made sure it was true. The petty officer in charge of, first class petty officer in charge of public relations was the one who was interviewed by WCVB in Boston, television channel 5 in Boston. And he would not have been interviewed, nor would he have released information without approval of his commanding officer. That's the way it works in the Navy and in the Coast Guard and in the Army and in the Marine Corps. You don't do those things unless you have permission, unless everything's cleared and everything's been checked. That's the way it works. Later, they said, no, it never happened. And then they said they never made the report. When you asked them for a tape, they said there was no tape. Well, we found out who keeps their archives and went there. And they said, yeah, WCVB had told them to get rid of the tape. At least that portion beyond a certain time code. And they were supposed to, when somebody orders the tape, or actually they were supposed to take the master and erase all of that portion right before they went to the woman in the newsroom who was going to report that John F. Kennedy Jr. had indeed called the tower at Martha's Vineyard. They were supposed to erase that all the way up to the 6 o'clock news, which was over 5 hours of broadcasting, because they talked about it all afternoon. And then the 6 o'clock news is when they said, oh, well, we thought maybe he might have called somebody on the radio, but we found out that may not be true. That's just a rumor. Remember that? You heard it last night. And then later, they denied that they even had it. Well, we sent people back to that archive place, and we found, you know, people are sometimes lazy. They put off what they're supposed to do, or they don't do it because, you know, it's time to quit, and they want to get home, and then they forget about it. Well, sure enough, the tape had never been erased. What they were doing is when somebody ordered the tape, they were playing the tape on a different kind of machine that measured the time code differently. And so they were cutting the tape just a few seconds too late, so you knew that they were reporting that John F. Kennedy had actually called the tower at Martha's Vineyard, and the Coast Guard public relations petty officer began to talk about it, and then they cut it. Well, see, they don't listen to this when they're doing it. They cut it according to the time code that the station had given them, right up to the 6 o'clock news. And then they just picked it up to the 6 o'clock news and added that on the tape, and that's what you got. Well, we sent people there to get the whole tape by hook or crook, bribery, hold up, theft. We didn't care. And we got it. I'm not going to tell you how we got it. I'm not going to tell you who got it. I'm not going to tell you when they got it. But I'm going to tell you, this is the tape. And when you see it, if you get it, you'll see that it's real. We haven't tampered with it. Those are the real people who are the news reporters at WCVB Channel 5 in Boston. This is their tape. It's real. It's the real day's reporting. And we got the smoking gun. And it's amazing. Since then, everybody denies that there was ever a report. You can't find the petty officer who was the public relations petty officer. He's been transferred. Nobody knows where he's at. You can't talk to him. You can't talk to the air traffic controller at Martha's Vineyard. They won't let you talk to him. They won't tell you where he is. And every time you call to try to talk, they tell you he's not there. That's all we know, is he's not here. You can get a hold of the people at the news room at WCVB, Channel 5 in Boston, by using any kind of ruse you want. We've got the story of the century. I've got to talk to somebody now. Hi, is this a blip blip? Yeah, well, you know, you reported that John F. Kennedy Jr. had made a radio call to the Martha's Vineyard control tower at the airport at Martha's Vineyard at 9:39 on April the 16th, the night that his plane crashed. Oh, I never made any such report. You must be mistaken. There is no report. Nobody made any report. That's just a rumor. Bold-faced lies. And so that's the way it is. John F. Kennedy Jr. was murdered. We gave you the smoking gun last night. Absolutely proves that they're all lying and covering up. Also, when you talk to these people, you can hear tremendous fear in their voice. They're scared to death. Somebody has put terror into their hearts. The people at the control tower at Martha's Vineyard Airport, when you mention that subject, you can hear their voice trembling. They're scared to death. They don't want to talk to you. The people in the newsroom also, scared to death. They're terrorized. Literally terrorized. And so I bet we have really stirred things up with last night's broadcast. And that's the way it should be. We're going to open the phones now, folks. 520-333-4578. What do you think about what you heard last night? What can you add, if anything? You know anything about this? 520-333-4578. And take your calls for the rest of the hour. Why did they kill John F. Kennedy Jr.? Anybody got any ideas? I know why, but you don't. Good evening, you're on the air.
Los Angeles. Hey, I do a lot of flying out of Whiteman Airport. About at least twice a month, the Civil Air Patrol is out there with their little meters looking for emergency locator beacons that go off in the aircraft parked on the tarmac.
Uh-huh.
So that's a very, you know, I mean, for them to say that it not, you know, it was just a joke. And also I want to say that he was flying out of an area that has air traffic control, which means he had to have his transponder on, and that thing gives a signal out to the air traffic control that tells you exactly where you are, your height.
Yeah, but it doesn't tell him who he is.
Yeah, but as soon as he took off, he took off into an air traffic control, and they knew when he left the ground where his position was.
No, they didn't. They didn't know it was him. See, he never filed a flight plan. They never knew where he was or which blip was him ever.
Well, I find that hard to believe, because as soon as you contact the tower and you take off and you come up to elevation, your specific altitude, entering the TCA, you must contact them and tell them you're there so that they know not to fly a jet right into your airspace.
Oh, yes, I know that.
I just got the question at it. One more thing. I think they rigged the fire extinguisher to go off with a barometric device that had to drop back below altitude, and the CO2 discharge inside the cockpit, rendering them unconscious. That's my theory on the situation.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, well, let me explain so you don't get confused about what he said. What he said is true. When you climb up, you're in an air-controlled, traffic-control area. You've got to check in, and you've got to... That's why I said this nonsense that he never called anybody is total bullshit. It's a lie. Could not have happened. He had to be calling people all along the way. That's heavy traffic control. That's on the approaches to JFK and a whole bunch of other big airports, Newark, and, you know, lots of them. A lot of air traffic there, and it's heavily controlled. So he could not possibly have taken off and not contacted anybody. He had to be talking to people all along the way. So that whole concept is a total lie. But it is true that those little planes like that, they have a transponder and they have to have it turned on so the air traffic controllers can see their blip on their radar, and so that they can, you know, direct traffic so that planes don't collide and things. But they don't know who's on that plane or who it belongs to or anything like that. They don't have to know. All they have to do is see the plane and be able to direct traffic and so on and so forth. The airport where he took off from may have known that was his plane and he was on board, but beyond that, nobody else had to know, and unless he called in and told them, they wouldn't know, but they would see his blip on the radar. Now, large airplanes have transponders that squawk a specific code that tell the air traffic controllers exactly what plane that is, who it belongs to, where it left from, and where it's going, and all that kind of stuff. But small planes do not do that. You heard it on the tape, what he was squawking, and they call it squawking. It's a little transponder that sends out a signal that says, here I am, right here, on your radar, and, you know, don't let anybody bump into me, and it's called 1200. It doesn't identify anything beyond that, except, here I am. Who is it? Well, I don't know. What is it? I don't know. It's a little plane. That's all they know. Okay, 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm going to take your calls for the rest of the evening and talk about this. What do you think about it? What do you know about it? You know anything about it at all? The first caller gave us some good information. It's true. It's a heavily controlled air corridor where John F. Kennedy Jr. was flying. Absolutely impossible for him not to have called anybody along the way. He would have. And the weather over land was not that good. I mean, it was okay for VFR, which is visual flight rules, which means if you're a qualified VFR pilot, you can fly without an instrument rating. But it was still a little hazy, and I imagine he probably went through some places where visibility wasn't too good. But once he got out of the water, it cleared up really nice. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dwayne from Duquesne. just wondering, regarding the reason for the killing, do you think perhaps John was preparing something in his magazine that he was publishing that somebody didn't want to get out? Or?
Well, he might have been, but I don't think they'd kill him for that.
Right, right. I just wondered, too, about the funeral. Was there any symbology that anybody noticed that may have shown that there were some secret organizations behind this?
Ah, what makes you think secret organization?
Well,
I'm curious.
It happened with his dad.
Huh?
It happened with his dad.
Why did it happen with his dad? See, that's the key to the whole thing.
Well, he was bucking the New World Order in three ways that you mentioned in one of your presentations, with the exposing of the UFO, the intention to tear the CIA up, and to reinstitute constitutional money.
But he wasn't opposing a world government.
Right. I guess it's evident by the way he transferred the U.S. military over to the U.N. in 61.
Not only that, but he's the one who proposed the disarmament treaty and created, all the disarmament stuff was on his watch.
Right, right.
Which includes disarmament of all of us.
Yeah, right, that's right. That's three parts of the scenario that you mentioned.
Yeah, you're on the right track, but you haven't got a clue yet.
Right, okay.
You should have a clue, but you don't.
Okay, I'll hang up and listen to somebody else then.
Okay, thanks for calling.
Thanks, Bill.
520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, he was on the right track, and he was so close, but he just didn't get it. Good evening, you're on the air.
Hey, good evening, Mr. Cooper.
Hello.
Hey, I've heard that there was a meeting between JFK Jr. and Hillary Clinton the day before that plane went down. Do you have any knowledge of that?
No.
Okay, well, I'll see if I can't dig deeper and get some information on that for you.
Yeah, I'd love to know about it if there was such a meeting that would help clarify things.
Yeah, well, you know, if that plane was blown out of the sky, as we suspect that it was.
Whoa.
I'm sorry.
Are your ears okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. Mine aren't. Boy, I almost blew my brain. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was saying, if that plane was blown out of the sky, as we suspect that it was, it's no surprise that they did away with the body so quickly, because they probably had some sort of residue on them as well, don't you think?
Well, I don't know. It's a possibility, but they did away with everything.
They certainly did.
Where's the wreckage? How come nobody was ever allowed to take pictures of the wreckage? Why did they lie about his calling the Martha's Vineyard Airport?
I don't know, but I'll tell you, whoever is responsible for this is awfully good at getting rid of all this evidence, aren't they?
Well, no, they're good at buffaloing the American people so the American people accept it.
Mm-hmm.
That's what they're good at.
Well, listen, thanks a lot. I just want to check in on that Hillary Clinton thing with you.
Well, you're close, too. You're all close, but you're so far away.
That's good. I'm checking out everything that you're saying here, you know, because I'm learning a great deal from listening to your show. I tape it every night.
Good.
It's a great show. Thanks.
You're welcome. Bye. Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. What happened here? What do you know about it? Anything? Good evening. You're on the air.
Mr. Cooper.
Yes, sir.
I think it's the Federal Reserve connection.
Think so? Why?
Well, his dad knew about it and was taking measures to have real money. And I think he might have been onto that.
But that's not it either.
Oh, well.
You understand part of it, but you're not even close.
Okay.
Okay?
See you.
Thanks. Thanks for calling. 520-333-457. I hope one of you gets it. And don't feel bad if you didn't get it, if you don't understand it, you know. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe you're right after all. And if you don't check up on all of this stuff and verify it, you'll never know, will you? Good evening. You're on the air. He was a threat. You got it nailed right on the head, but you don't understand why he's a threat. He's a Democrat. Why wouldn't they want him to run? They don't care who is, as long as it's one of them. I just gave it away. You weren't listening.
Well, I'm not used to being on the air, but
that's okay. Don't get scared or nervous, and don't feel bad about any of that.
Yeah.
We're trying to make this a learning experience.
Okay.
So why would they think it was bad for him to run against Hillary? Hillary's nothing special. They don't care if she wins or loses. They just want one of them to win. Hello?
Yes. Well, let's see. All right. If that's the case, then why Bill Clinton?
Because Bill Clinton's one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, if whoever gets in office is one of them, and it makes no difference if it's Republican or Democrat, that's just for the mass media.
Yeah.
Just so they feel like they got a winner.
That's right.
So, if...
With the Kennedy name, he would have been a winner. I've given you every clue in the world. You want me to tell you right out flat?
Yeah.
He's not one of them.
Well, you cut out on me. Say it again.
He's not one of them. Never has been. Why do you think they've been killing Kennedys for so long? This is an ancient war. It didn't start yesterday.
Okay, so I know there were some things that John was going to do, I think was at the Federal Reserve. He was going to...
No, you don't have a clue. Let's let somebody else get in.
Okay.
Here. Thanks a lot for calling.
All right.
Appreciate your try. Good evening. You're on the air. Nope, you're not on the air. There's nobody there. Okay, 520-333-4578 is the number. I'm going to take your calls. I've given out enough clues. Somebody should have it pinned right this second. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yes, Bill. I was wondering if it had to do with the fact that he is not a member of one of the so-called black nobility families that trace their, you know, roots back to the ancient monarchies and things like that.
Has nothing whatsoever to do with it. In fact, he does have relationships in nobility.
Oh, if the Kennedy family is?
They have blood, and they have noble blood in their veins, yeah.
I see.
Their family goes back to Ireland, but their family also goes into some very famous, very very royal bloodlines.
So do you think that the Montauk area had anything to do with the actual...
Montauk has absolutely nothing to do with anything. Preston Nichols and what's-his-name are bullshit artists from way back.
Oh, really?
Oh, really, yeah. If you can't delve that just from reading the book, I mean, you've got to be...
Well, I haven't read the book. I've just
get the book and read it. It's obvious. If you buy into that crap, you're off the deep end.
Right. Well, so what were you saying, though, that it's an ancient war?
Well, if I tell you that, I give you the answer. I'm trying to get you guys to use your brain.
Well, we're trying.
Okay. I know you're trying. I hear it.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks for calling.
Okay. Bye.
520-333-4578. Why'd they kill him? Why'd they kill his dad? What's the link here? What's it all about? Alfie? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Pauline.
Hi, Pauline.
Okay. Would it have anything to do with the Clintons being in the Trilateral Commission? I think that's how you say it. And not the Kennedys?
Does it have anything to do with what now? The Clintons being in the Trilateral Commission and not the Kennedys?
Yeah.
No.
Well, okay. I tried.
That's a good try. Yeah.
Okay, well, I'll hang up and let someone else try.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks for calling.
Mm-hmm.
520-333-4578. Yeah, I got a picture of Pauline I'm going to put on the website. So you guys stand by. She's going to knock your socks off wearing an Hour of the Time t-shirt and hat. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
Rick in Ohio. How are you?
Hi, Rick.
Just a thought. The long protracted battle between English Freemasonry and the Rockefeller Rothschild clan and French Freemasonry aligned with the Vatican, and the Kennedy link to French Freemasonry, the warfare that's been going on between those two factions vying for control of the New World Order.
You got it right on the head, Rick. That's exactly what it's all about.
Okay, Bill, I'm going to jump off.
Thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
That's it, folks. It's the ancient battle. The ancient battle between the secret societies and the Vatican. That's it, right on the head. This country was built by Freemasons, who built this country to set the common man free, so to cause and spark revolutions around the world and topple kings and queens from their thrones, to create a godless sectarian world. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, how you doing, Bill?
Pretty good.
Listen, I had a question. I understand about all these secret societies, and but basically I think the Kennedys are dealing on the exoteric levels, and these secret societies deal on the esoteric levels. And I was wondering, I've been reading some of your stuff, and I've seen some other, there's some other places too, the difference between microcosms and the macrocosm.
Uh-huh.
What's that all about?
What's it all about? Well, we really, that's not the subject tonight, and I don't have time to, you know, be teaching those kind of lessons. Yet that's pretty deep philosophy there. As above, so below.
Is that really part of this ancient war that's been going on?
No. No, this is strictly a battle between the church and the lodge.
Okay, so this is part of the physical dimension.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, excellent. I listen to your show all the time. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, let me read you something, folks. This is another one of my prize library books. And I looked for many years to find this book once I discovered that it existed. It's called The Scarlet Book of Freemasonry. It was printed in 1880. And this is the reason for the whole thing. Now listen very carefully to me. Okay? Scarlet Book of Freemasonry, containing a thrilling and authentic account of the imprisonment, torture, and martyrdom of Freemasons and Knights Templars for the past 600 years. Also, an authentic account of the education, remarkable career, and tragic death of the renowned philosopher Pythagoras. Recent remarkable discovery of Masonic emblems on an ancient obelisk in Egypt. The same obelisk, by the way, that was moved from Egypt and now stands in Central Park in New York City. Now, just let me read the preface to you. Freemasonry, being a benevolent institution and entirely unsectarian, listen to me, entirely unsectarian, it is hardly credible that its votaries have for centuries been objects of a bitter persecution, and that large numbers of them have suffered death in defense of their principles. Yet such is the case, as the Roman Catholic Church has relentlessly persecuted, tortured, and burnt them at the stake for the past 600 years. And this persecution is still carried on wherever popery has the power to do its bloody work. With the exception of the most recent occurrences, the only knowledge heretofore accessible of this warfare against Freemasonry has been the disconnected accounts furnished by history and the narratives of a few of the sufferers who escaped with their lives. Therefore, the aim of the author in this work is to present in a convenient form a connected and complete account of the persecutions and martyrdoms of Freemasons and Knights Templars by the Catholic Church. Also, to show the fraternity, the nature and character of the sanguinary enemy Freemasonry has had and still has to deal with throughout the world. The information concerning the persecutions of Masons and Knight Templars has been collected from the most authentic works of the periods in which the persecutions took place and from the forced admissions of Popish writers themselves. The life and philosophy of Pythagoras was gathered from rare and authentic ancient works and is complete and reliable. That's the whole thing in a nutshell, ladies and gentlemen. There is a war between the Christian Church in all of its forms, but mainly against Catholicism and the Vatican. But all Christians, bear this in mind, they're at war with all Christians, all nation states, and against the mob. And their goal is to destroy all of it and create a one world totalitarian socialist government. Good evening, you're on the air.
Yes, Bill. That seems to tie in with what's in the Protocols of Zion.
Exactly. I've said it many, many moons. The Illuminati wrote the Protocols of Zion, not the Jews.
Okay. Just a quickie here. In defense of the use of the word compound, I live here in Massachusetts, and the media has always, as long as I've been alive, referred to Hyannis, their Hyannis Port home, as a compound, because the place is huge. It's not just a house. It's, you know, houses for each of the, you know, the family members, and they have function halls. They put on weddings for 500 people. And
so what? It's their home.
Well, it's big.
How would you like your home to be called a compound, no matter how big it is?
Well, well, compound meaning more than one building, just like Martha's Vineyard. Now, that's a huge piece of property. I've been by there too, and it's just
Well, let's get back to the regular subject. Thank you for that. So they've been doing it forever, huh?
Yeah. Massachusetts, anyway.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Yep, bye.
Thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. What do you know about all this? See, this is an ancient war, ladies and gentlemen. An ancient war between the minions of the material world who believe that man is God and those who believe in God. Good evening. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. I was listening to Art Bell last night. I was just wondering if you happened to listen to his program. There was somebody from Minneapolis that had mentioned that he was listening to your program and told the story of what you were saying about, you know, Kennedy. And Art Bell was acting very skeptical about the whole thing. And I was just wondering...
Art Bell is a Freemason.
Yeah, right.
He's a member of the Illuminati. When he wears the skull and bones on his T-shirt...
Right.
He's laughing at everybody. That's the emblem of the Knights Templar.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah. And I was just thinking the same thing. I mean, it's been known that...
I call him Art Bullshit Bell.
Well,
our Art Ding Dong Bell.
Well, I was just wondering if anybody else heard that program.
Our Art Ding-a-ling Bell.
Well, you know, I guess they say that the Catholics are, you know, cannon fodder for Luciferian organizations, and I'm just going to hang up, but I was just wondering if anybody heard that program last night, too, on Art Bell. And
okay, no, I very seldom ever listen to Art Bell unless I know he's going to make a big blooper, and I just love to tape those and use them on my show.
Oh, well, there was a person that said that he was listening to your program, and, you know, he heard what you were saying about, you know, JFK investigations and stuff like that.
I didn't say it. It was on the Boston tape.
Oh, you know,
it's all there. I didn't say it. I proved it.
Well, I guess somebody had mentioned too that there was like a bomb, and there was a bomb, and some investigator knew something about it or something like that. Did you hear anything about this? You know, about the bomb being in his.
Yes, and I talked about it last night.
Oh.
You weren't listening, were you? You were listening to Art Bell, weren't you?
No. I was listening to your program, but I didn't catch the entire program.
It's okay if you listen to Art Bell.
Oh, no.
It's all right.
Well, I listen to them more for entertainment than anything else. I mean, I don't really...
It's okay.
Okay. I'm gonna hang up there. I was just wondering if anybody else heard that, though.
I don't know.
Okay. I'll talk to you later.
Okay.
Bye.
Good night. And thanks for calling. 520-333-4578 is the number. Yeah, you know, you guys can listen to everybody. Just understand that when you're listening to them, including when you're listening to me, don't believe anything unless you can prove it in your own research. How many times have I told you that? Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill. This is Dave from New Hampshire. I'm listening on WBCQ out of Monticello, Maine.
Hi, Dave. When are you guys going to have your revolution?
Pretty quick. We're preparing right now.
Good for you.
Preparation is never done.
Listen,
I have this thing that I get off the internet, and it says that Janet Reno was on 60 Minutes on 6/26/99. Listen to this. The alarming statement from Janet Reno. Regardless of your religious affiliation, this is what your government leaders think of you. The following is a quote from Janet Reno on 60 Minutes interview on 6/26/99. Quote, "A cultist is one who has a strong belief in the Bible and the second coming of Christ, who frequently attends Bible studies, who has a high level of financial giving to the Christian cause, who homeschools their children.
That's a lie.
Has accumulated survival foods. And
She never said that.
Okay.
No. That's a direct quote that people said that she said back in 1993.
Okay.
Exact same quote. Somebody is floating it around again.
So she did say this.
She never said it.
Never said it.
Never ever said it.
Okay. Okay. Excellent. I just wanted to clear that up.
When I first heard that, I tried to track it down. You know what I tracked it down to? A little newsletter out of Fullerton, California.
Yes.
The guy that writes the newsletter said that she said it, and he put it in his newsletter, but there is no person living on this earth who ever heard it actually come out of her mouth.
Right.
Ever.
All right, so let's get back to the JFK thing.
Okay.
Now, I didn't catch the show. It wasn't coming in quite great.
Let me explain something. For all of you out there who are listening to this, I don't like Janet Reno. I will never stick up for her when she's wrong.
Good for you.
But when she's right, I'll stick up for anybody when she's right or when they're being lied about.
The worst lie you can tell is a lie to yourself.
Yeah, she never, ever said that.
Okay.
So go ahead.
Okay. So I missed the first 15 minutes, and can you go over his approach? And he was 2,500 feet off the water.
When the
last they knew of him.
10 miles from the tip of the island. Yeah.
And
no. When he dropped off radar, he was at 1,300 feet. He went from 2,500 feet to 1,300 feet in 12 seconds.
Right.
And then disappeared.
Okay. So what's everybody saying has happened to him?
Well, why don't you go around and ask everybody?
I have been.
You tell me. What's everybody saying?
I heard the gentleman who said about the ancient war of the...
Did you listen to last night's broadcast?
No, I didn't.
Then you're out in left field. You get the tape and listen to it. You don't even know what we're talking about.
Okay.
We're talking about last night's broadcast.
Okay.
How could you miss that?
It wasn't coming in on my shortwave.
Okay, let's let somebody else get in here then.
Okay, thanks a lot, Bill.
Thanks for calling.
Take care.
520-333-45. No wonder he didn't know what was going on. He didn't hear the broadcast last night. So he didn't know. Everybody needs to get the tape. You can order the audio tape of last night's broadcast for $11, or you can order the 2-hour videotape, which was the subject of last night's broadcast, or both. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Bill.
Hi.
I can't hear you on the shortwave because you're going in and out, but I'll take a shot at it. I don't know if anybody answered it yet.
Yeah, it's been answered.
Excuse me?
It's been answered.
Oh, what was the answer?
It's the ancient war between the lodge and the church.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed it. The propagation's not very good.
As long as the lodge controls this country, there will never be Catholics in charge, unless it's by accident, and they won't stay there.
Okay, hey, it's great to talk to you. I've been a big fan of yours for years.
Okay.
Can I ask you a question about something else?
Sure.
About the Nuremberg trials. You know who Helmut Schacht is?
Not right off the top of my head.
He was Hitler's banker.
Oh, yeah, okay.
And after he was exonerated, he went on to run Odessa.
Okay, no.
Do you know what Odessa is?
I know what Odessa is, yeah.
Okay, well, I read in a certain book that, if anybody should have been put in prison, it should have been him. But recently I read that he was a Freemason. Did you know that?
Well, they were all Freemasons. Hitler's rise to power wasn't from some obscure political movement in Germany. He was brought to power by the Thule Society, which was the German branch of the Knights Templar, the Teutonic Knights.
Right. I read Spear of Destiny, and I know about that, but eventually they turned against the Freemasons.
Who?
The Nazi leadership.
Dictators always do. They know how they rose to power through the secret societies and the machinations of the secret network. And they don't want to be deposed by that same process that brought them to power. Stalin also destroyed Freemasonry in Russia.
Yeah, and there were certain, like Heydrich wanted to get rid of Schacht, but I guess they had to keep him on because he was so valuable.
I don't know how valuable he was, but he knew where the money was. Let's put it that way.
That's for damn sure.
Money
talk. Okay, Bill. Good night. I'm glad to see you putting your website together.
No, thanks.
Okay. Good night.
Good night. 520-333-4578 is the number. And we're taking your calls, and we're talking about last night's broadcast and what it was all about. Why was he killed? Kennedy was killed at the time of sacrifice when the sun was directly overhead. Everybody thinks the sun is always directly overhead at 12 o'clock noon. That's not true. It depends upon what degree of longitude you are on as the sun is passing over in your time zone. And at the exact moment that President John F. Kennedy was killed in Dallas, Texas, in Dealey Plaza, which is an outdoor temple of the sun, full of mystic and esoteric and occult symbolism, the sun was directly overhead. He was killed in a grove right next to the grassy knoll. He was the sacrificed king. He was shot in the chest area, in the neck, and in the head, the same exact wound suffered by Hiram Abiff in the Masonic initiation. John F. Kennedy was killed by the lodge. He was killed by the secret societies because he's Catholic. It was a strike at the church. The Freemasons have moved in and taken over completely the Southern Baptist Church. The Southern Baptist Church is owned, operated, and controlled today by Freemasonry. Don't believe me? Check it out, man. They are so heavily entrenched that it was the major subject of one of the most recent Southern Baptist conventions. 520-333-4578. Their goal is to destroy all existing religions, especially Christianity in all of its forms. Destroy all existing nation states and shackle the mob. And to understand why they want to shackle the mob, you need to read the story of the execution of Jacques de Molay and the leaders of the Knights Templars, when the mob jeered and yelled and had such a great time watching them burn. They have some solid reasons for doing what they're doing. But you see, they don't understand, like I do, that what they're doing to get even is the same thing that the church did to them. And also, the lodge, in its pagan origins, were burning Christians long before Christians ever burned Freemasons. Nobody can win at this kind of battle. Everybody loses. That's why I don't like any of them. I'm not on either side. I think they're all a bunch of scum. Tell you the truth. And I'm still a Christian. You know why? Because instead of belonging to a organized religion, I read the words of Jesus Christ and I try my very best to follow them. He is my church. He is my church. I don't need anything else. I don't need a big building with spires on top and bishops and popes and ministers and all of that kind of stuff. I don't need them. Jesus Christ is my church. Wherever I am, He's there with me. Always. Good evening. You're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Bill. This is Vince in Minneapolis.
Hi, Vince.
Hi. I'm the fellow that called Art Bell last night and brought up your program. I mentioned your name specifically, and Art Bell wasn't too pleased, I don't think, when I mentioned your name in your book, Behold a Pale Horse.
Oh, he doesn't like me because I've exposed the Lodge and exposed the Illuminati and exposed him.
Yeah, he was totally spewing the mainstream media line about the bad weather and how Kennedy was an inexperienced pilot, and I was just kind of stretching with disinformation. I was talking about your program, and I was stretching, and just because of the Kennedy name, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I totally believe that it was a sacrifice. I just wanted to ask you, you know, it was the 3-year anniversary of the TWA Flight 800 plane that was blown out of the sky, basically in the same area.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if...
It had nothing to do with it.
It had nothing to do with that?
Nothing.
No sort of war between the Freemasons and...
No, nothing to do with it. No.
Flight okay.
TWA.
Hey, Billy, you had mentioned...
TWA Flight 800 was knocked out of the sky by a missile fired from an Iranian submarine.
But, you know, how sometimes, you know, these anniversary dates and the symbology, I was wondering if there's any connection there.
None at all. It was a tit for tat. One of our ships in the Persian Gulf blew an Iranian airliner out of the sky, and there was not going to be any peace between the United States and Iran, and Iran was going to send terrorists over here and blow up America's forever unless we made an agreement. And the agreement was we would allow one of their subs to come in off JFK Airport and blow one of our airliners out of the sky, and that's exactly what happened.
Hey, Bill, you had mentioned on your yesterday.
And you notice, right after the crash of TWA Flight 800, relationships with Iran were instantly rectified, improved, much better.
So you mentioned an investigator that examined John Kennedy Jr.'s plane wreckage and said that it looked like a bomb in the tail section.
He didn't tell me it looked like a bomb. He showed me documents pinned by the investigators and photographs of the wreckage. That's what he showed me. We're out of time.
Oh, okay.
See you later.
Talk to you.
Bye. That's it, folks. We're out of time. Buenas noches and all that kind of stuff. See you tomorrow night. Don't miss it. Well, I won't see you tomorrow. See you Monday night. Don't miss it. Good night, Annie, Pooh, and Allison. I love you with all my heart and soul.
Tarzan wasn't the ladies' man. He just come along, so my partner is on like that. Big as a kid in the jungle. Clark Kent, now there was a real gent. He would not pick cards sitting around in no jungle scheme. Dumb as I ain't doing nothing. Superman never made anybody, saving the world from Solomon Grundy. And sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Hey Bob, Sue had a straight job. Even though he could smash through any bank in the United States, he had the strength, but he would not. Folks said his family were all dead. Planet crumbled, but Superman, he forced himself to carry on. Get Krypton and keep going. Superman never made anybody see the world from the Solomon Grundy. Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Tarzan is king of the jungle and lord over all he hates. But he could have his strength together for the world. I told them EJ. Sometimes when Super stopping cries, I bet he was tempted to just quit and turn back on them. Join Tom's and it was. But he stayed in the city, kept on changing clothes and dirty old phone booths till his work was through. And nothing to do but go on. Superman never made any money. Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man like him. Sometimes I despair the world will never see another man.